Northendam Kolel, Shir on Tehillim, Chapter Yud Aleph, given by Gershon Hepner, 15th of Tammuz, Toshin Samach Zayin, 1st of July 2007. We'll go through the whole chapter first. Lamasech L'David, Lamasech L'David, we'll call that as a song for David. Ba'ashem Chosisi, I have trusted in God, Eich Tumru Nafshi,
how can you say to me, or how can you say about me, Nudi? Me, Harchen, Zipper, Nudi Harchen, me to your mountain, Zipper, Zipper, you bird. It's obviously a very difficult expression. Who is this who's talking to David? Who's referring to him as a bird? And what does it mean when they say, flee to your mountain? Ki they are Rishon, Midrachun, Keshes, behold, the Rishon, they tread on the bow, that's mean the bow, as in a bow and arrow, Kumen Luchit from Al Yeser, they position their arrow on the bowstring. Yeser is a bowstring. Liros, to fire, that's to fire the bow, Bomo, to fire the arrow, Bomo Ophel, in the darkness, Vishayin, against those who are straight of heart. All difficult to understand. Ki hashashos, horosun, because the foundations are demolished, tzadik, or when the foundations are demolished, tzadik ma po'ol, or ma fo'ol, what has the tzadik achieved? Hashem hechal kodesh, God is in his holy temple, Hashem bashamayim kiso, God is in it, God's throne is in the heaven, Elov yechizu, his eyes see, afapol, his pupils, that's the pupils of the eyes, yeah, all the eyes, machlokus, his eyes in some form, whether it's eyelids or whether it's the eye pupils, test people. Hashem tzadik yivchon, Hashem tests or discerns the tzadik rasha, the ovid chomas, son on Hashem, but the rasha and he who loves violence, son on Hashem, his soul hates, Hakadosh Baruch Hu hates such people. Yam ter al Rishayim, God shall rain down upon the Rishayim, Pachim, is charcoal, Eish is fire, the Gophris is brimstone or sulfur, yeah, the Ruach Zilothus and fiery wind, Menoskoson, that is their portion. So Rishayim should deserve all these horrible punishments. Ki tzadik Hashem, because God is a tzadik, tzadokus, or if he loves those who perform righteousness, Yosha, Yechus, and Fonimo, those who are straight shall see his face. All the rest of this is subject to a different version, different machlokes is what it means. Okay, let's take a look and see if we can actually get through this. Namasech l'dobit b'Hashem chasisi etum yonash yudhi harchensiv. Alright, Namasech l'dobit. That's what's called. Namasech l'dobit, song for Dobit. B'Hashem chasisi, I trusted in God. Ech temru nashi. How dare you say about me, or how dare you say to me, to my soul, or to me, Nudi Harachem Tzipper, flee to the mountain, or to your mountain, Tzipper, O you bird. The first thing to note is the meaning of the word Lamasiach. We've had this before. Perek Dalet, I'll just go through the simple chapter that we had in Perek Dalet on this first Lamasiach, which of course begins so many of the chapters in Tehillim. Lamasiach Rashi learns that the Lamasiach means to be his chazik, to strengthen yourself. Will Tzadik Ches means to be victorious. Lematzeach. So this is that it means to be successful, not successful, to be mishazik, to strengthen oneself in one's service, Hakadosh Baruch Hu. And of course this is also an expression of to be conductor. Lematzeach Ibn Ezra says that Lematzeach means the conductor of the Beis Hamikdash choir. So it's something special for the beginning. This is a song that David wrote to be used in the Beis Hamikdash, sung by the Beis Hamikdash choir of the Bim. The Ibn Ezra and Rashi explain that why it has this word Lamasech refers to a choir, because they strange this, that the choir members, choristers, will jostle a bit for position. They'll all mark the solo, they'll all mark to make their voices prominent. Yeah, it's kind of a bit, it's a bit of an accusation really, that maybe even in the Beis Hamikdash choir, that the singing of that, that each one wanted his own voice to be heard, and that's how you get the expression of Menatzeach, to be successful, or to be victorious. They all want that, they all want the top position in the choir. As in another shot is given also by the Nesser, the Lamaser is an expression of Lo Netzach, forever. That Sfat HaMelech wrote these pieces, wrote these Pirokim of Tehillim for eternity. Lo Netzach for eternity, and that's an expression of Lo Menatzeach for eternity. It should be sung for eternity in the Beis HaMikdash. We've done that before on Perek Daled, I just thought it was worth repeating to understand Lo Menatzeach. Lo Menatzeach for David, a song for David, Hashem Chasiksi, I trusted in Hashem. Rashi admits this means he happens to have to mount his own birth. Now Rashi explains that this is a reference to a particular occasion in David's life when David was on the run from Shaul, and you find this in Shmuel Aleph, it's in Perek Kavvav, and it's in Pasuk Yotzes, where they finally have a showdown meeting between Shaul and David, and in fact they're on two hilltops right close to each other, and they shout there, she has a sort of shouting match between them, except it's not even a match, it's more David pouring his heart out to Shaul, saying, why have you been after me all these years? I've been really harmed to you, I have opportunities to kill you, which is true, and I have not taken up those opportunities. I didn't kill you, and I could have done. I'm your son-in-law, I respect you, Lord Mashiach Hashem, and why have you been after me all this time? And then David pulls his heart out, where he says, Kigeshuni Hanyun, it's very famous possible, Kigeshuni Hanyun, they've driven me out. Today David was broken, that he'd been forced on the run to leave Eretz Yisrael. Kigeshuni Hanyun, they've chased me out. Today, may his Tapeah, Benachlas Hashem, from joining in the inheritance of God. Why? Because I've been driven out of Eretz Yisrael. Neymar, as though it was to say, Lechav Elohim Achem, go and serve idols. And then we learn that leaving Eretz Yisrael is tantamount to serving up in Zorah. If a person has an opportunity to be in Eretz Yisrael and to remain there, then leaving it is tantamount to serving up in Zorah. So, and here David is pouring his heart out. And since the Rashi explains that this chapter was written on that occasion. He was on a run from Shaul, he was broken at being on a run from Shaul, he was broken at having been chased out of his beloved Eretz Yisrael. And now he says that with all this, even though I'm on a run, nevertheless, Hashem Chasisi, I trust in Hashem, and how can you, Shaul, and my other enemies, say to me, go on a run, really, just run, Hashem, be on a run, super, with this almost like a derogatory term, referring to David as a bird. Like a bird flits from place to place, so to you, David, you've been on the run, and how can you refer to me in this way? Rashi quotes another pasuk on this, Rashi explains that David is saying, I trust in you, Hashem, that eventually I'll get back to Eretz Yisrael. I trust in you that even though now I'm outside Eretz Yisrael, I trust in you that one day you'll get me back into Eretz Yisrael. On this Ludi Harachim Sipar, Rashi quotes a pasuk, it's initially a chance to come Zion, and it's pasuk Ches, where we have a pasuk, Pitzipa, Nudedes, Minchino, like a bird flees or moves from its nest. King Ishmede, Nunukam, so to a man, is on the run, Nunukam, from his own place. In other words, that, and God is saying, I'm like that bird, like a bird flits from place to place without necessarily having a proper settled place.
Shaul
saw David as his own son-in-law as a traitor, because Shaul was concerned he was the king, and yet he was another man, David, who was behaving and calling himself the king. But of course he was the king, because Shaul had married the Malchus. And so Shaul thought that David was hiding, so Shaul tried to kill him on at least three occasions, and he was on the run. He ran after David trying to kill him on more than that. Like a bird flits from his nest. So too, a man, a man is on the run from his own place. Now there are a number of different shots on this, on that possible Mishnah. Rashi says, what does it mean? It means a Talmud Chacham, whose mocker, his fixed place is that in the Medrash of learning, and here is like this man who's uprooted from his place. Here are the Mudim and Kerber of his Talmud Chacham, and has to stop his learning for whatever reason, and he believes the Beis Medrash, he's uprooted from his own place. That's how Rashi learns that pasuk. The Ibn Ezra on that pasuk says it's a reference to a person who has to leave his own home in order to Parnassah. He has to find Parnassah time, he's got to go out and seek his fortune, and may well need to leave his home in order to do that, but it's not a pleasant thing to have to do. One has to do it, but it's not a pleasant thing to have to do. To go abroad or to leave his home for whatever reason, he's got to go out to travel himself, but he's going out to travel to work. Yeah, he's going to go to work. That's going to go to work. And also, so that's what that passage means. I saw a chap brought in the art scroll, but I couldn't track it down. But he refers to the dog, refers to himself as a tipper rather than a yonah. Yonah is a dove. Which is a bird, but the yoma is different from other birds. If a bird comes back to its own nest and discovers that the eggs have been taken, most birds will then move on. They'll find another nest and they'll build a new nest. And that's this tipper, which is on, that's the definition of tipper, which is on the run and always moving to a new place if the canary strikes it in its own nest. Whereas the dove will not, the dove never has eggs upon, but it'll still go back to its own home nest. Well, here dog commits himself to the tipper, it does not return to its own home nest. He was on the run for years and years from Dobby's, then home from Shovel, and therefore he's this bird on the run. Now, Rashi then concentrates on the fact that this word Nudi is a cohesive. It's written with a vav at the end, as though it says Nudu. But that's the ksiv, but the kri is in the singular nudi, which is a singular. Why the double meaning here? The ksiv is in the plural, the kri is in the singular. Why is that? So the Rashi explains, because this is an expression not just used against Dovid, but used against all enemies of Klal Yisrael, towards Klal Yisrael. And they're referring to all of Klal Yisrael going around, nudu. Usually Klal Yisrael, not just to Dovid alone, Nudi in the singular, but it's been used over generations by the enemies of Klal Yisrael to us. Nudu, you, all of you, run away. Go into Golus, get out from here, go away. And in fact it's extended in the Medrash in Chatum, which says that whenever Klal Yisrael have gone into Golus, the non-Jews have always rejoiced. And they're saying, yeah, Nudi, go away, get out. But that's just in the plural, because it's referring not just to Dovid on this one occasion when Shaul was after him, but on all occasions in history when Klal Yisrael had been moved on into Golus, that the local non-Jews have rejoiced that in fact they've gone into Golus. It struck a chord with me, because someone recently told me that they remember when they left Poland, when they were given on the run, and long before the Nazis invaded Poland, and they could see that they were going to, and again left Poland, all the Polish locals, they lined up in the streets, they saw these women clutching their little kettlech on going away yet again into Nachal Golus, when all the Polish chevra were singing and rejoicing at the women leaving the shtetlach. So it's a modern thing, it's not a smart historical thing, it's unfortunately going, it's the story of our lives. The Radak, it gives a different shot on this. The Radak says, why is Nudi the ksiv in the plural and the kri in the singular? So the Radak explains that here Dovid's enemies were addressing Dovid in two different ways. They were addressing him, his guf, and also his nefesh. And the guf is, you're on the run from us. Like Shaul saying, you're on the run. That's your guf, is on the run. But as well as that, the enemies of Dovid truly believed that Dovid was had a soul that was doomed to eternal damnation. They really beneath that. Why? Because that was a big, big shaila at the time of David's, when David was around, because David's ancestress, of course, was Rus Hamalaviyah, and at that time, many people did not believe that someone from Moab, that a lady from Moab could become a Jewess. So as far as they were concerned, David came from non-Jewish ancestry, and therefore he had no part in climbing the sun at all. And that was, although David's mother was of course being Jewish, and therefore technically was Jewish, they believed that he came from this bad source of Rus, believing that Rus had no right to become a Jewess. And therefore they believed that David's soul was also they wrote him off, and therefore the Razak explains that they were referring to David in the plural, Nodim, the Ksiv is in the plural, referring to body and soul, Guf and Shama, or Guf and Nefesh.
No, even the Yidden.
And it took a while till that Allah always ratified that a Moavi, male Moabite, cannot become a Ger. It's a possibility of saying, Moavi, that Rus did have a right to become a Ger, since she was a fully French Jew. There seems to be a bit of a machlokas among the Mefarshim, where this Nudi Harchem means flee to your mountain or flee from your mountain. There's a machlokas there. Some learn that Harchem, your mountain, is like your safety, it's your place of refuge. And flee from your mountain means get away from your place of refuge and go on the run so we can catch you in the wild. And others say no, that's a reference to the go flee to your mountain, and others go away from your shrine, as God indeed has to do more than once, flee from your shrine and go on the run into the mountains. Machlok is now to know that. Now there's the Mi'iri, the article quotes this in the name of the Mi'iri, and I looked through the Mi'iri and I couldn't find it, although it seems like copy of the Mi'iri seems to have a page missing in it. About that. The virus is always quoted in the name of the Re-Ibn Achya. That was the name I don't know the sefer. I saw it quoted in the Yaakov Nehemiah, but it's a totally different story. But this is not reference to when Shaul was chasing David and they had this discussion across the mountain tops. In fact, it refers to a totally different time, namely the time when David went to rescue a town called Keilah. In Keilah, it's in Shmuel Aleph, Kafgimel, the story is related that David got to hear that the Plishtim were invading, attacking Keilah, and he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should I go and rescue, should I go and help out? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, yes, go and rescue Keilah. And David's army was very reluctant to go, but he persuaded them, and they went, and they saved the town of Keilah. Keilah is a town in the territory of Yehudah, and they saved that town. However, once they saved the town, the residents of Keilah got wind of the fact that Shaul had heard that David was in Keilah, and the residents of Keilah, notwithstanding the fact that David had rescued them from the Plishtim, the residents of Keilah decided to side with Shaul and hand David over to Shaul. Which is really terribly sad, because David had come to their aid and he'd saved them from the Plishtim, and now the residents of Keilah turned their backs on David and they said, I'm going to decide to hand him over to Shaul. However, David got wind of that fact. He got wind of that fact in Benigua, and he managed to escape. And it's this escape that in this chapter, learns the Mi'iri is a reference to that time. Hashem Chassis, I trusted in HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved me. And even though the people of Keilah are only too happy to hand me over to Shaul, nevertheless, I've made good my escape. The people of Keilah are the ones saying to me, Moody, I think so, I've gone after your mountain, you little bird. And nevertheless, I've been saved from that. The Major Shekha Tov brings a very nice chat here on the phrase Hashem Chassisi, I trust in Hashem, says David, I will trust totally in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore I'm not in the slightest bit fearful of my enemies. And he gives a marshal of the servant of the king, who is very much beloved to the king, and the and the other servants are a little bit jealous of that one servant. That servant's got a special relationship with the king, and the other servants are jealous. And that one servant isn't in the slightest bit bothered by the jealousy. Says, "I'm okay. I'm not bothered if the other servants are jealous of me. The king's on my side. The king loves me. I love him, and I'm okay." And that was the situation of David. Hashem, since he, I trust in that control by the special privileges of his beloved servants, and so I'm not really bothered about my enemies. I'm not worried about them. Now the Medrash Shechatil goes on to give a different shot on this word Mudi. The Kesuv is in the plural, Mudu. The Kri is in the singular, Mudi. So we have this double expression. Why the double expression? Well, what's the meaning behind the Kesuv? So the Medrash Shechatil brings in the name of Achor. Then it refers not just to Klal Yisrael, who are on the run from their enemies, but also to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because when we look at the home base, HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaYachol, also goes into God's Klapi Malo.
And Klapi, not Klapi Malo, is referenced to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he is also on the run, so to speak. And Klapi Matzo is Klal Yisrael, they're also on the run. And he refers to back to this pasuk here in Tehillim, no, in Mishlei, chapter Kavzayin, pasuk Ches, Ketzibar nodedes min kinah, like the bird flees from its nest, kein ish noded min kemer, so too does man flee from his place. Says the Medrash Shechatov, who's this ish? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to by the word ish, and that's a pasuk in B'Shalach, Hashem ish milchoma, Hashem shemo, Hashem is this man of war. Like, so too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ish who flees from his place. What's the place? It's the Beis HaMikdash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to flee from the Beis HaMikdash too. And that's why it's in the plural. That's why the Kesiv is in the plural. It refers both to Klal Yisrael on the run, and also HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nebuch, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kevayachol, had to leave his makom, his place in the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kuv Zayin Amud Aleph, gives a whole new pshat on this, and it refers that this pasuk refers to the Maisa of David and Bathsheba. That David, of course, saw Bathsheba, and he saw her when she was going to go to the mikveh, and David took an instant liking to her, and he decided he was going to marry her, and in order to marry her, he engineered the death of her husband. No, he was still married to her at that stage. He engineered his death. His name's gone out of my mind. Thank you, Uriah Achiti, thank you. You like David? Yeah? You like David? He knows all the names and knows all of Tanakh.
Just by chance.
Yeah. Son-in-law, yeah. He's amazing. Yeah. So David engineered the death of Uriah Achiti. He sent him out to the front line. And David married Bathsheba. Absolutely. David married Bathsheba while Uriah was still alive. But before sending him out to war, they all of them, as they always did in David's army, they always wrote a get to their wives. That if they don't come back, then the get should be retrospectively. The get should be as of now.
So Uriah wrote
to get for his wife.
In case he didn't return, and
David ensured that he wouldn't return by sending him out to the front line. He did not return, and therefore the get was valid from the date when the get was written, and therefore at the time when David married Bathsheba, she was technically divorced. And therefore David did not break the halacha, but it didn't look good. And David suffered for this. The Navi, it was Nosson HaNavi, came to him and told him that he would suffer from his own family as a result. And all these calamities, David lost a child, the first child that Bathsheba gave birth to, died in infancy, and then the Maisa of Amnon and Tamar, and then the Maisa of Avshalom, and all these tragedies befell David from within his own family.
He sent him to the front line.
Yeah, well, because he married Bathsheba while her husband was still alive. They were divorced. But he was still alive. Divorced, retrospectively.
He wasn't divorced because he wasn't dead yet.
The get was going to work retrospectively, and therefore, and David was sure of it, and therefore he would have been divorced.
Only if he died.
Only if he died, but David ensured that he would die.
Yeah, but...
I know.
But the affair took place, he was alive.
Yeah, absolutely. It was conditional on his death.
On his death, of course.
Yeah, and he did die.
Why should he divorce her if he comes back alive?
Yeah.
No, actually, she's available to marry when he dies, whether there's a get or not.
Absolutely. But he was still alive. But he married her while Uriah was still alive.
Made no difference, retrospective get.
It did, because he was still alive, but because he was going to die, therefore they were already divorced. That's how it works. The Gemara says that Kol Ha'omer David Chata Eino Ela Torah. Anybody who says that David sinned with this is mistaken. He didn't, and he did not break the halacha, but it didn't look good. Now David did teshuvah for this constantly throughout his entire life. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, I can't remember where it is. Well, yeah, absolutely. It was murky. It didn't look good. And the pasuk in Tehillim, Chatosi Negdi Somid, my sin is opposite me all the time. And he never let go of this aveira. He constantly did teshuvah for this. Of course, Bathsheba was a key link in the whole Malchus based Ovid, because she was the mother of Shlomo HaMelech. So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Kuvzainam with Aleph, So the Gemara says this in the name of Rava, that David said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Omar David ifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbeinu Shalom, Mecholi al Osa Oven, forgive me for this Aveira, Shalo Yomru, so that people shouldn't say, Har Shebachem, your mountain, and his aposik, Nudi Harchem Tzipper, your mountain, i.e. your great and wonderful and king, who is like a mountain, he's rock solid and powerful, Harchem Tzipper Nidodatu, a little bird made him, sort of pushed him away, or a little bird made him move. Who's this little bird? It's the Sotan. Because the Gemara says just before this, that the Sotan came to David in the guise of a little bird, as though it was a garnished, it was a nothing, you know, go and marry Bathsheba, it's nothing. So the Sotan appears like a little bird. He said, there's a pasuk, Nudi Harchen Tzipper, your great mountain was pushed away by a tzipper, by a little bird. And this is what David says, please, Mecholi al Oven, forgive me for this, Alosa Oven, forgive me for this Aveira. And that's how the Gemara learns this pasuk here in Nudi Harchen Tzipper, that people shouldn't say about David that he was a pushover. You know, he was like a little tipper. He was a pushover. You think he's a har? You think he's a mountain? No, he's a pushover. He's a little tipper. He was pushed away by the Sotan, who came to him as in the guise of a little tipper. The Marsha explains this a little bit more. He quotes the Gemara in Sukkah, and I couldn't find the Gemara. Where the Gemara says that the Yetzer Hara appears to tzaddikim like a mountain. To tzaddik, the Yetzer Hara is this huge insurmountable mountain, whereas for a Rasha it appears like a little thing. And I think if I read it correctly, it's like a hair, kaseor, like a hair. Hair on a person's head. To a Rasha it appears like a hair, it appears like nothing. Whereas for a tzaddik, the Yetzer Hara appears like a mountain. So David is saying, I don't want people to think that I viewed this Yetzer Hara like a tzipper, like a little thing, like a little bird. I want people to think of me still as a tzaddik, that I viewed the Yetzer Hara as a tzipper, as a bird. Now, as a mountain. Sir, I got that wrong. Thank you. I want people to think of me that I saw the Yetzer Hara as a har, as a mountain. Thank you. Yeah. Yes, but that was on another occasion. That was on the occasion when he carried out a census.
And have
not been on the occasion of the Kershaw? No, it was a different case. He invited that Yetzer Hara. He said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, test me and I'll pass the test. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's not for you to invite a test. I'll test you on something that even a little cheder child would be able to pass, and you won't be able to pass it. And that was the test of carrying out a census, which he shouldn't have done. Yeah. Yeah, Rabbi Shimon Shem
first. It's hard to understand. He could have had any woman he wanted in the whole world.
Absolutely, very hard.
This one,
very hard to understand. Yeah, yeah, very hard to understand.
It's hard, isn't it?
Maybe he saw her righteousness and he saw that she was the one destined to be the mother of the kids. Could well be. It's beyond me, that's for sure. Yeah. Rabbi Shimon Shem first Hirsch learns differently. Rabbi Shimon Shem first Hirsch looks at the Meginus in the Pasuk, and I do not understand the Meginus. You know, the Meginus and Tehillim are different. Yeah, the Sifrei Emes, Eov, Mishlei and Tehillim have their own structure in the Guinness. I'd love to understand it. I suppose I should do make a.
He's the only one at the back of his Tehillim has a commentary on.
I've learned through that. I've looked through that, but it's very hard to understand. Right. Yeah, a whole different structure in the Guinness. I should look at it. But he points out that nudi really isn't it? That nudi is a phrase by itself, while harchem tzipar is a phrase by itself. Now, really, we've learnt the pasuk as though it says "Nudi Hachem," flee to your mountain, or maybe flee from your mountain. But he says no; it's "Nudi," flee. Hachem Tzipar, your mountain is just a little bird, which is similar to the way the Gemara learns it. This Gemara about David doesn't want people to think that the this great big mountain that he is simply a little bird. He says, so that's how Shem Shemfan Hashem is. Nudi, flee, Hachem Tzipar. The enemies of David are saying, your great mountain, you think you're such a great mountain? No, you're just a little tzipar, you're just a little bird. Good, that's Pasuk Aleph. Let's go on Pasuk Beis. Yeah? Ki hinei harashoim yidruchum keshes. Behold, the Rashoim straightened the bow. They
positioned their arrow on the bowstring. Yiros to fire the arrow. The mother fell in the darkness. The Israelite at those straight at heart. So he's saying here at the end, so Poshup Shat, we can see that the enemies of David are getting their bows and arrows ready to fire at him, to fire at David. So Poshup Shat said that the enemies are gearing up to shoot their arrows at him. Now Rashi learns who these enemies. Here Rashi learns the enemies are a particular reference to Doei Koyadoni, who told Loshon Hara about the town of Nun, that the Nun of Iraq Golan, this town that had given David some protection and had given him some food. And of course they told you Doei Koyadoni told Shaul, hoping to getting into Shaul's good books, and he told Shaul this Loshon Hara that Nun of Iraq Golan looked after David, and Shaul of course reacted by wiping out the entire town. And 85 Kohanim were killed. And think about it, makes you cry. You always imagine King June, you know, and Shaul, he meant well, of course, but it was a terrible blot on his whole history.
They said he looked after David.
They did. No, they were Kohanim looked after David when he was on the mountain, Shaul. They hit him, they gave him food. I think the food was actually left up on him, I think, but I'm not sure. I can't remember now. And they looked after him. And then that news was given over to Shaul by Doei Koyadoni, and he was Jewish, and he lost his faith in the Bible of this. These are the enemies that David is referring to now. Doei and other Dilterei Hadar, a Russian visit, Dilterei Hadar, the word Dilterei means with Loshon Hara. So Doei for Loshon Hara is the classic person for Loshon Hara against David to Shaul, and it resulted in the deaths of all those souls.
Mostly,
yes, absolutely.
Authorities.
That's right. And Shaul wiped out the city of Nun. Now Rashi quotes the pasuk, and the pasuk is in Yirmiyah, and it's chapter 10, pasuk base, where the pasuk refers to people who speak Lashon Hara and people who speak lies as those firing arrows. By Yajakulis Mashunon, they prepare their tongues, kashtom, like a bow, sheker, with falsehood. So, and the Vajra that was saying that people speak lies and people speak things of the Lashon Hara, it's as though they're shooting an arrow. Why? Because the Lashon Hara can actually travel a distance. You can speak Lashon Hara, you can speak Lashon Hara in Syria, in Syria, about a person living in Rome. And the person in Rome is terribly affected for life, and it can cost him his life, and it can cost him his parnassa, etc. You can do untold damage at a distance. Like an arrow has an advantage over a sword. A sword is only useful in hand-to-hand combat when you're facing the enemy you directly, whereas an arrow you can shoot at a distance. Likewise, Lashon Hara can travel a distance and can affect someone even if they're a distance away. That's how Rashi learns its positive reference to reference. So here we have speaking more about the enemies who compare their bows and arrows, and therefore it's talking about Lashon Hara, and therefore it's the first to do it. Kardoni, who spoke badly against David to Shaul, and resulted in the death of these 85 Kohanim, known in HaKohanim. Now, what's all this business about the Yidruchun? Is a strange word. Yidruchun Keshes is the Lashon of Durich, is to tread on something, as we get word Derech, which is a path. Durich is to tread. Yidruchun Keshes, what's all this business about treading on a bone? So Rashi explains in the lovely bit of French, has to use the French here, called Dash, the string of the bow. Called is a string of arch, as in arrows, as an archer, yeah? Is an arrow, yeah? Called Dash, called the apostrophe, called Dash, the bow, the string of the arrow, of the arrow, or the string of the bow, really. Yeah, that's it. So, and it gives another French word. I have to thank my little French teachers for this, and that's the word heroes to throw, or to shoot the arrow, and it gives us the French word ajeté. Ajeté is to shoot. Yeah, that's to get more jet. Yeah, jet. Yeah. It's to something that shoots out. Yeah. So, jet of water, it comes out of the force. So what's all this was about Yidruchun Keshes? So Rashi explains Yidruchun Keshes, he says that sometimes if you have a very large bone, in order to steady the bone, you actually need to, the archer needs to put his foot on the bone. Yeah. And I actually took a bit of time last week to look this up on the internet, where you get all this information to see. I looked on a couple of websites about archery. And lo and behold, there is it there. Then you've got a very large bone. So you have a large bone. The long bone, well, you can steady the bone with that foot. Yeah, it's a piece of wood. So it's so heavy to stop it from doing whatever you want. There's a special place for it with that foot in order to keep the bone steady. So they are constantly rushing. Who needs the internet? Who needs any website about archery? So it's constantly rushing. Yeah. As in, I didn't understand it properly without that. Okay. Rashi also speaks about this. Let's go on to the Radak. The Radak learns Rishonim. The Radak points out here that the Lashon has changed from Pasuk Aleph. In Pasuk Aleph, he says he's speaking directly to his enemies. Ech Tomru, how can Pasuk Aleph, how can you, my enemies, say he? So they're speaking in the second person directly to the enemies. Whereas here in Pasuk Beis, the Radak points out, he's now speaking in the third person about the enemies, Kinei or Rishon, Yudhuk, and he says it's the Radak explains actually referring to other enemies. Not necessarily these particular enemies, but all other enemies who have ever oppressed him. Let's go on to a very big shot on this Pasuk, which is found in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Kafbov on the Aleph and Kafbov on the base. Yeah, the movies were shot in reverse here. Can you make a shot in the Kinkeshes? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kafbov on the Aleph, says it's a reference to a particular man by the name of Shevnot. Now Shevnot, it seems to be the Gemara spells it with an Aleph at the end, the Pasuk spells the name of the head. Yeah. Now, this man Shevnot was a major political figure in the royal household of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Now, Chizkiyahu HaMelech was a man of great tzaddik, man of Yehuda, and of course during his lifetime, Sanherib came from Ashur, came to attack. Chizkiyahu became 185,000 men. Now, Shevnot, who, although he was a great Talmud Chacham, the Gemara describes in glowing terms that Chizkiyahu HaMelech, he had 110,000 Talmudim. But Shevnot had even more, he had 130,000 Talmudim. He would vanish with 130,000. I don't know how he did it in one time. Maybe not in one time, but he had 130,000 Talmudim. Along comes Sanherib, and Shevnot decided to side with the enemy, with Sanherib. Sanherib had already been on quite a long military spree, and he had attacked and conquered many of the surrounding countries, and now he arrives in Esau and is out to attack Esau. Well, Shevnot decided to surrender. And what did Shevnot do? He wrote out a message to Sanherib saying that I and my chavra, my friends, and I've got more friends than Chizkiyahu, I've got 130,000 permitting this disclosure of 110,000, I and my Talmidim and my whole entourage, my whole chepa, we are very happy to surrender to you.
Bachizkel, the one here,
he doesn't want to surrender. So Shev not with that messenger out of the piece of paper, he attached it to an arrow and he fires it into Sancheir, he shot it into Sancheir's camp. And Sancheir gets his message and he thinks, well, wonderful, well, this is going to be a push over, right? They're all going to surrender to me. Why did Shev not do this? He did this because he has his own hidden agenda. He felt, well, okay, Sancheir is going to march in, I'll surrender to him, I'll be in Sancheir's good books, Sancheir will kill Chizkiyahu, and will put me on the throne instead. And in fact, he was so convinced that he was going to become a melech, that he went off, that this man Shebnah went off in search of an eventual grave for himself, a burial plot for himself, and the grave that he chose for himself was in a burial plot reserved for Malchus and Malchidonis. Yeah, and he's like, I'll be one of them as well. I'll become a melech, and then when I die, I'll have the cult to be buried together with all the other yam, all the other lach, and all the other kings. And that was his hidden agenda. Rashi brings that. So, that was his hidden agenda. So, Sancheir reads this message, he gets his message on an arrow, and there's the link to our pasuk. Kine Oshon Yidruchim Keshes. If fire, he shot an arrow. Right.
That's this man Shevnal shot this arrow into the with the message on it to Sancheir. That's Yidruch and Keshes. Konenu Chitzom Al Yeser. He puts the arrow onto the bowstring because he shot this arrow to Sancheir. So, and what happened? Well, yeah, for sure. It's in the future. It's Benavua. That's right. This pasuk is Benavua about what will happen in the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Absolutely. Yeah. And what happened? So Shevnah goes out of Yerushalayim to go and meet Sancheirev, and to surrender to Sancheirev, and he goes with all his chevra. However, a mace happened. And when he came to the doors of the gates of Yerushalayim, he went out, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the Malach, and the Malach was Gavriel, who shut the door so that none of his entourage could follow him. So off goes Shevnah, marching to Sancheirev, and he arrives at Sancheirev, and he says, yeah, we're ready to surrender. And Sancheirev turns and says, what do you mean, we're ready? You'll be coming by yourself. And he says, well, as far as Shevnah thought, all his chavirim lost heart. They didn't, you know, he was the only person who had the courage to surrender to Sancheirev. So Sancheirev says, well, you're making a mockery of me. You sent me this message, and then you're the only one to surrender. What are you talking about? So Sancheirev, this is where Shevnah got his comeuppance. He took Shevnah and he made holes in his feet, in his heels of his feet, and he tied Shevnah to the tails of his horses through his feet. Somehow put a rope through his feet, made holes in his feet, and he tied ropes through those holes, and then he tied the other end to the horses' tails, and he took Shevnah and a ride over thorns, rough ground, exactly. Well, I'm not sure if he did kill him. I'm not actually sure if he did kill him. It certainly wasn't good for him, no. In fact, the
it is in the films or something, yes. Obviously it's Dragon
King. Dragon,
yeah? Film,
yeah? Oh. Right, okay. Yes. So,
Shevnah was a great Talmud Chacham.
He was a Talmud Chacham, but he became a Rasha.
He didn't want to be the king so much.
He was a Rasha. He was a Talmud Chacham who became a Rasha. Yeah, that was it. He became a Rasha. So he just wanted to surrender to Sancheirev. Of course, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu rescued us from Sancheirev completely b'derech neis. You know, the Sancheirev's army took flight. All b'derech neis. So, yeah, so that's how, that's what happened to Shevnah. And this pasuk is a reference to Shevnah, the shooting of the arrow with this message and so on. And who are the Yishrei Lev? That's the Yishrei Lev is Chizkiyahu. These are the people who are straight of heart. That's the reference to Chizkiyahu, the tzaddik, the king, and they are the Yishrei Lev, the complete opposite to these Rishoyim who are Shevnah. Shevnah and his gang are the Rishoyim, and Chizkiyahu and his people are the Yishrei Lev, are the good people. In fact, the Gemara says there, still to denigrate Shevnah, he was a Baal Hanor. Let me give you the Lashon of the Pasuk, of the Gemara. Rabbi Loza said, let's get this, Amrav Elazar Shevna Baal Hanoah Haya. That's on Sanhedrin Kafav on the base. And Rashi says, "What does he mean? He was a Baal Hanoah." Rashi says, "Kamashmo, he enjoyed the good things in life." And therefore, that was his comeuppance. He couldn't make it to be a great tzaddik and a great Talmud Chacham because he was too drawn by Olam Hazeh, by the pleasures of life. And then Rashi says another pshat in this, that Yeshem, some say Mishkav Zachar, he was a homosexual. So that was his downfall. That was Shevna's downfall. Yeah. Okay, good. Let's move on. Good. Okay, Pasuk Gimel. Ki hashoshos veha posibis. Ki hashoshos ye horison. The foundations will be demolished, or they are demolished. Tzadik ma po'al, what does the tzadik do? What has the tzadik achieved? So Rashi explains that who are these foundations? The foundations are the good people. And it's a reference to the people of Nov, the Kohanim of Nov. They were the foundations on whom the world rested, or the foundations on whom you can rely. They are the shosos, and they are destroyed because they were destroyed, of course, by Shaul. Tzadik ma poal, but what have I done? Says Rashi, I, David, I'm the tzaddik in this story. In this terrible story of how Nov Ir HaKohanim was wiped out by Shaul, the Nov Ir HaKohanim are the shosos. They are this foundations. These are the great tzaddikim, the Kohanim of Nov. Tzaddik ma poal. What have I done? I'm a tzaddik in all of this. I didn't do anything. It was Doeg and it was Shaul, but I didn't do anything. Tzaddik ma poal. What have I done in all of this? Indeed, I've done nothing. So Rashi goes that the Nov Ir HaKohanim are the shosos, they're the foundations, while I'm the tzaddik and I didn't do anything wrong. It was Doeg and it was Shaul, they wiped out Nov, but I'm the tzaddik in that particular incident. I, David, didn't do anything wrong in this. That's how Rashi lands. The Ibn Ezra and the Radak learn a very interesting pshat on this word hashosos. They say that the word hashosos really is a reference to the word reshosos, which is a plural of the word reshes. Reshes means a net, and it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the tzaddik referred to in the pasuk, he destroys the nets, i.e. the wicked plans of the Rishoyim. So that's how the Ibn Ezra and the Radak learn. Ki hashoshos yeho reson, the net, the rishosos are destroyed, the nets and the plans and the wicked cunning plans carried out by the Rishoyim, they are all demolished by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tzadik mafal, you see what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done. He has destroyed the wicked plans of the Rishoyim. That's how the Radak and Ibn Ezra learn. It's a bit difficult pshat because shosos is a different word from rishosos. You've got a missing resh, and a resh is not kind of letter just to drop out of a word, but that's how they learn pshat, that shosos means rishosos. The Tosfos Rid on the Pasuk says that the shosos in the Pasuk, foundations in the Pasuk, refers to tzadikim, and that the tzadikim are the foundations of the world. Shosos means foundations. They're the tzaddikim upon whom the world relies and upon whom the world rests. And he says, if the tzaddikim are destroyed, ki ashoshos yehoresen, then tzaddik mafal, then what punishment will HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring to the world? After all, while the tzaddikim are around, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to punish the world because the presence of the tzaddikim in the world that protects the world. But once those hashosos yeres, once HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away those tzaddikim, if those tzaddikim are ever destroyed, Chas V'Shalom, then tzaddik mafal, what on earth will HaKadosh Baruch Hu do to the world? It's beyond our imagination what terrible things HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do to the world. That's how the Tosfos Rid learns. That's right. The Meiri, I had to read my notes, I couldn't remember. Yeah, the Meiri learns, remember, the Meiri learns that this whole chapter is a reference to when David rescued Ke'ilah from the Pelishtim, and then Ke'ilah turned their backs on David and were ready to give him over, to give David over to Shaul. So he says here, Hashoshes Yehereson, now that the Pelishtim are destroyed, he says the Hashoshos is a reference. Hashoshos is a reference to the Pelishtim. The Pelishtim are destroyed. So now, Tzadik Mafoal, I'm the Tzadik. what have I done? Tzaddik Mafal, what did the Tzaddik do? I'm the Tzaddik in that story. I rescued Ke'ila from the Plishtim. What have I done wrong? On the contrary, I saved you from the Plishtim. So why do you want to hand me over to Sha'ul? That's how the Me'iri learns the Pshat in the Pasuk, because he learns, following his own opinion, that this chapter is a reference to the incident when David saved Ke'ila. The Pelishtim are destroyed. Tzaddik Mafal. What did the Tzaddik do? I am the Tzaddik. I saved you. Therefore, how on earth can you dare to try and hand me over to Shaul? That's how the Me'iri learns Pshat in the Pasuk. The Medrash Shulchan Aruch gives a whole number of Pshatim on this Pasuk. Really on the word Hashoses. Number of different shatim. First, one shat is like similar to what we've learned so far, that hashosos means the foundations, and it's referenced to tzaddikim of the world. They're the foundations of the world upon whom the world rests, and if those tzaddikim are destroyed, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the tzaddik. What would Hashem do if the tzaddikim are destroyed? That's one shat. Second shat is hashosos is the word for the Even Hashesiyah. Same root, Hashesiyah. The Even Hashesiyah was this stone which is still around, and it's on Har HaBayis. In fact, I've seen a photograph of it.
Yeah.
It's a large stone, and it's the stone where we say Avraham Avinu did the Akedah on Yitzchak. That was going to be the Mizbeach for Yitzchak. There's a Medrash Sama which refers to the Even Hashesiyah as the stone which was the beginning of the creation, began with that stone. Even Hashesiyah, like drinking, the whole world drinks from that stone because that stone was the first part of Olam Hazeh to be created. Something along those lines. Yeah, sure, it's now in part of that mosque.
Dome
of the Rock, yes, the rock that we're referring to. Yeah. I saw a photograph of it.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I saw a photograph of it, yeah. No, I was going to bring the photograph from the
stone.
No, it's flat. Large, flat, square stone. Yeah. And in fact, I believe that the Kodesh HaKadoshim would have been in that area. And in fact, in the second Beis HaMikdosh, when there was no Oren in the second Beis HaMikdosh, so in that rather lovely picture book about the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, the pictures because it's showing what the Kohen Gadol had to do on Yom Kippur. It's got the picture of the Oron in the Kodesh HaKadoshim in dotted lines, because in the second Beis HaMikdash there was no Oron, and all the Avodah that took place in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, like the Kohen Gadol who had to put the Ketores down there, leave the Ketores burning in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and also sprinkling the blood from the par, from the bull, and also from the goat. That blood was dripped onto that stone in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So the second shot in the Medrash Shulchan Aruch is that the word Ki Hashosos is a reference to the Even Hashesiyah. And it means, if the Even Hashesiyah is destroyed, Ki Hashosos Yehareisun, not the Even Hashesiyah, because that is not destroyed, but it means the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, then Tzadik Mah Poal, and I'm not quite sure what it means, it's a reference again to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, something along the lines of what have you done, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or what hana'ah can you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, possibly get anymore from the world when there is no more the Beis HaMikdash, the Even HaShesiyah, or rather the building upon which the Even HaShesiyah is built, and the Beis HaMikdash is now Yehoresen, is now destroyed. And there's a third chapter which is very similar, that the word also brought in the Medrash Shulchan Aruch, that this word HaShosos is referenced to the Shisim. Now the Shisim are brought in, are described in the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Mem Tesamad Aleph. The Shisim were the two holes down the Mizbeach.
The base of the Mizbeach.
Yeah, the
they went down to the rift. The
yeah, to the Nachal Kidron.
Nachal Kidron.
Now wait a minute. I'm not sure if it was for the blood of the now I'm confused. It might have been the blood flowed all the way down there, but I actually think it was the two holes on top of the Mizbeach, not used for blood, but one for wine, for Nesachim, for all the wine libations, and the other for water on Sukkot. Of the Mizbeach. Yeah, and those holes went right down ad hatahom. And in fact, the Gemara relates it to the word Bereshis, as in Bereshis Barakim. Bereshis, that they were one of the first things HaKadosh Baruch created. Bereshis is Bara Shis. Hashem created the shis. He created these long channels. Thank you. These long channels which flowed right the way down ad hatahom to the very core of the earth. That's how the Gemara learns it. So, and that goes very nicely with those in the first we learn hashasas means the foundations because they went right the way down. So this major shechatot means learns that the if those shisin are destroyed because the base midrash is destroyed, then again, what tzaddik ma'apal? What can the tzaddik, the person who wants to keep the Torah, what can he now do? You know, we don't have the base midrash. What kind of avoda can we do nowadays along those lines? Now, back to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kavvav on the base, which was talking earlier about Shevna. That the Gemara there brings a number of different shotim on Hashotas. Chezkiah learns. That Hashos, that the Hashotas are destroyed. Going back to the story of Shevna, that Chezkiah is described. Chezkiah HaMelech, he's described as the Shotas. He's the foundations. Yehoreson once, if he would have been destroyed by Sanherev, then Tzaddik Ma'afal, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what kind of reward would that have been to Chizkiyahu? What a Tzaddik Chizkiyahu HaMelech was, and Tzaddik Ma'afal, what kind of a way would that be, you HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're the Tzaddik, what kind of way would that be to repay this great, this other great Tzaddik, human Tzaddik Chizkiyahu, if he would have been destroyed? And the reason why we can connect the word Hashosos to Chizkiyahu, the Gemara explains, is because there's a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, chapter base, pasuk Ches, Ki LaHashem Mitzuke Eretz, the pillars of the earth are for Hashem, Vayoshes Alehem Tevel, and he rests the world upon them. And the pshat in that pasuk is that pasuk refers to the pillars of the earth. Who are these pillars of the earth? They are the Tzaddikim. And Vayoshes is means HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests his foundations upon those great tzaddikim. So that's how we can explain this pasuk. Hashosos Yehoreson is a reference to Chizkiyahu, who is the foundation, who is this great tzaddik. Then the Gemara gives this other pshat that Hashosos is a reference to the Beis Hamikdash because of the Evan Hashisiyah. And again, what would HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? And what kind of pleasure would HaKadosh Baruch Hu have in the world? Tzaddik Ma'apal, Hashem being the Tzaddik. And the third shot in the Gemara there is that Hashosos is a reference to the plan of Shevna, the plan to surrender to Sanherib in the hope that he would then be installed as the king. And Hashosos Yehoreson, those plans of Shevna Yehoreson, they were crumbled, they were crushed, they came to nothing. Why? How can we connect the machshava of Shevna to this word Hashosos? So the pshat, the Gemara explains there, because the word shos means to pay attention to something. Because we've got a pasuk in Shemos, chapter Zion, pasuk Kaf Gimel, where Paro says v'lo shos libo gam lo zos. He wasn't prepared v'lo shos libo. He didn't pay any attention gam lo zos to this.
Paro.
Paro, yeah. I can't remember what that pasuk refers to, and I didn't even look it up.
It must be one of the ten plagues.
I think it was. Yeah, Kaf Gimel. Chapter Zion, pasuk Kaf Gimel. Yeah, it is. It was in Dan. Thank you.
Dan.
Plague of Dan. Yeah, Veloshos Lubegamos. He didn't pay any attention to it. I.e., it's an expression of a machshava. He didn't give any thought to it. He wasn't bothered about it anymore. So, likewise, this pasuk refers to the machshava of Shevna. Yeah. Just to add one more idea on this pasuk of Ki Hashosos Yehoreson, and that's from the Yerushalmi in Psachim, Perek Dalad Halacha Aleph. In the Yerushalmi, it's printed in Psachim Daf Kaf Hei on the base, where the Gemara there discusses different minhagim and discusses whether they're valid minhagim or not. For example, the Gemara says that some minhagim have no validity at all, while others are choshev minhagim and are considered worthwhile doing. So, for example, the Gemara says that some women have the minhag not to do any melacha on Mitzvah Shabbos. And the Gemara says that is a nonsense minhag. It doesn't make any sense at all. There's no reason why melacha cannot be done on Mitzvah Shabbos. However, if they have a minhag to wait until after we say Kaddish, Kaddish, Kaddish in Uvalitzin on Mitzvah Shabbos in Shul, but to wait till after that time, that is indeed a worthwhile minhag. Another example is not to do work on a Monday or Thursday, to avoid, to refrain from halacha. Mondays and Thursdays has no place, it's not considered a valid minhag. However, if that day falls on a tarnis, then indeed there is it is considered a proper minhag to refrain from malacha on those days. Likewise, on an Erev Shabbos and an Erev Yom Tov, to refrain from malacha then is not considered a valid minhag. However, to refrain from malacha from mincha and onwards on an Erev Shabbos or on an Erev Yom Tov, that is considered a valid minhag. And another one is to refrain from malacha on a Rosh Chodesh, says the Gemara, yes, that is considered a proper minhag. Then the Gemara says that in the name of Rabbi Zeira, that some women have the minhag, and this is considered a proper minhag, not to do any weaving work with the threads on a garment, or in particular with the shesi, that's the warp of the thread, that's the thread that goes lengthways on a garment. The loshon here, Amar Rabbi Zeira, Nishaya de Nahagon, women who have the minhag, de lo lemishtaya minda av alil. Those who have the minhag to refrain from setting the threads on the warp from Rosh Chodesh of onwards, minhag, that is considered a worthwhile minhag. Why? Shebu, because in that month, Pascha Evan Shasia, the Evan HaShasia, that's the stone we spoke about, that came to an end. Of course, the stone itself didn't come to an end, but the surrounding Beis HaMikdash, which housed the Evan HaShasia, that was the month of the Chum Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara says, Matam, what lies behind this minhag? And the Gemara brings our Pasuk, Ki HaShasia HaReisim, because that is the time when the shosos, the foundations, that's the Evan HaShasia, was destroyed. And that's a play on words as well, because HaShasos, the foundations, also referring to the Evan HaShasia, also referring to the shesi, that's the warp on the garment, the longitudinal threads on a garment, that they are stopped on during the month of Av, that the women should not do weaving work, shouldn't do repair work and so on a beged during the month of Av. And of course that's a minhag, or maybe halacha, during the 9 days to refrain from such malacha.